But for the next few moments, I want to talk to you. Pastor talked to you last week about how to live. And I want to follow that up by telling you today, if we don't learn how to abide, we can't live in Christ. So let's go to work for just a few minutes. Let's break the word abide down. It simply means to dwell with him, to follow, to conform to continue, to remain, to live, to stay, to await something, to withstand something, and simply to stand. That's what abide means in our lives. So I ask the question to you today, who can abide? You know, we would say, well, everybody can abide, but probably not. Let's look at what the scriptures say. In Psalm chapter 15, verse 1, the psalmist David asks the question, Lord, who may abide? One translation says, who may worship in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? You ever asked that question? Who can live with you? Who can abide with you? Who has the right to worship in your sanctuary? Wow. Let's just dig around a little bit. I'm just going to go scripture verse by verse. Verse 2 of Psalm 15 says, this is the first prerequisite. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. So when you talk about walking uprightly, it means you have gotten some vertical support in your life. Your horizontal relationships will always be messed up until you get some vertical support going. You can't walk uprightly in the physical realm without vertical support. When it says works righteousness, it simply means we work out moral behavior in our lives. We work out and we live in an honorable manner and speaks the truth in his heart. The last part of that verse simply means you speak with loyalty and accuracy, not with lies and deception. Let's dig a little deeper. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. He's going to get tighter on us now. So what is backbiting? It's simply spiteful, slanderous comments about somebody who is not present. See, we've asked the question, Lord, who may worship in your tabernacle? We think we can all come in here and worship. Wow. Just keep reading. See, backbiting means it's a spiteful or slanderous comment. Being evil to others simply means we become deliberately harmful and malicious. Bringing a reproach on a friend means you're critical and you discredit them to others. You ready to dig some more? Got real quiet. All those worshipers just sat down and got real quiet. Verse 4 says, and all I'm doing is reading the word of God to you. Shouldn't be foreign to you. Verse 4 says, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. So let's break it down. We are to despise the sin, but not the sinner. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we get a little jacked up. You are to hate the sin in someone's life, but you are not to hate the sinner. We're to honor those who fear the Lord. And we're to keep our word even when it costs us. Let's keep digging. Verse 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. So what does that mean? We're to make an honest living and don't cheat people. And we're never to take a bribe, whether it helps us or not. So here's another translation in the Message translation. This kind of just sums it all up. God, who gets invited to dinner at your place? How do we get on your guest list? Here's how you do it. Walk straight, act right, tell the truth, don't hurt your friend, don't blame your neighbor, despise the despicable, keep your word even when it costs you, make an honest living, never take a bribe, you'll never get blacklisted if you live like this. Wow. Interesting, isn't it? Did you know that was in his word? And people all over America have gathered for worship. There's a scripture that says, those who worship me will worship me how? In spirit and what? In truth. You can worship him in spirit and deception. You can deceive yourself into thinking, I got this and I'm all good. But sometimes you need to go to the mirror of his word and clean it with some Windex and look at it clearly. Actually, water and vinegar will clean it better than Windex. Any mirror in your house. There's your tidbit. You don't have to buy Windex anymore, whoever invented it. Put some Windex in it to make it pretty and smell better. So who can abide? So we just looked at who can abide, but you've got to stay joined to abide. I want to show you. Tony, bring one of those backpacks and bring Hank up here. I want to just give you a demonstration. You've got to stay joined to Christ to abide. The scripture in John 15, verses 1 through 4, and the last part of this is verse 16. It says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Wow. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, cuts, that it may bear more fruit. The scripture says, abide in me. So put that backpack on the front of his body. You make the decision to put on Christ. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Then the scripture says, you did not choose me. I chose you to go and produce fruit. Fruit, not just fruit, but fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask in my name. So you know that you have matured when you pray prayers and he answers them. You know you've gone through some pruning seasons when you petition your heavenly Father and he answers you. Now his answer can be yes, no, or hang on, baby. Now, those no's and those hang-ons test us a little bit. Let's keep digging. See, if you go back to this scripture right here, the problem with some of us is, bring me some of those pruning tools. The early pruning, and when we decide to put on Christ, the early pruning typically is about our outward activities, what we've been doing. He wants you to come out of that season, make better choices. As you grow up in Christ, the pruning gets more about your values and your personal identity in him. Most Christians, however, stay on the level with Christ, the elementary level where he's got to constantly talk to you about what you're doing, what you're not doing. Now, pruning is necessary for growth. Now, when he comes at you with this, you know you're in a season. You know something's about to happen. Where's that other little thing? But see, I can walk up to Hank right here, and I, as my daddy would say, I can make him want water in just a minute. That could take his earlobe off. Have you ever used one of these in your yard? I have cut that. I've cut limbs in my yard that I should not have cut limbs with one of these things. It will cut your finger off. So there's different pruning seasons in our lives. Pruning intensifies as God begins to cut closer to the core of who we are. He removes what is unnecessary to make room for added strength and spiritual authority with him. Hang on to that. You can just stay here with me. And there's typically what I found in life, there's four areas of pruning that he'll always get us in. First of all is our right to know why God does what he does. Oh, I fight that one. I ask him why questions. Your kid ever said why? Why? You know, I was the kid that my mother would tell me, you know, and I would say, why? And she'd say, because I said so. And I hated that. And I made a vow as a child, I will never say that to my child. And you know what? I did. Sometimes the only reason you got to do it is just because I said so. There ain't no other reason in that moment. Just get your little butt in there and get it done. Just because I said so. And you teach a child to respond to what you say so they will avoid the 18-wheeler in the middle of the road. Some of us are still working on some of our kids. Some of us are still working on our relationship with him. See, we are born wanting to control. If you don't know what a controlling spirit looks like, Josiah will be here second service. He wants to control everything. Ava is in Kids World right now. She is a born leader. I pretty much like to stay in control. You married one of those, didn't you? Yeah, I thought you did. You know, there's a book written, Out of Control and Loving It. I'm going to write a book, In Control and Loving It. But we go through seasons where God will not answer our why or our how long questions, because he's maturing us to another level. He will prune us in the area of our relationships. We can love others, and we can love them dearly, but the ownership to our life belongs to him. He will typically prune us in our love for money and our stuff. And the whole church says, ouch. Because God's going to be number one. And whatever you put before him in your life is an idol. He'll typically prune us in the area of our sources of significance. He'll probably prune you in your job, in your career, in your ministry, in your family. He'll prune you with people's opinions. See, he wants to get you to a point in your life that you listen to him and not people's opinions. Now, often, I found this to be true. There will be times, not always, but there will be times that God will require you to give back to him what he has already given you. Because he wants you to trust him for something else. And that gets really sticky sometimes to walk out. So there, we've asked the question, who can abide? We've made the statement, you've got to stay joined to abide. But there are some benefits when you abide. Psalm 91 says this, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So I want you to read this, just simply taken out of the scripture. Read this out loud with me. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. And he will cover me with his feathers. He will shelter me with his wings. His faithful promises are my armor and protection. Do you live that way? Let's keep going. Scripture. I am not afraid of the terrors of the night. I do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me, these evils will not touch me. I have made the Lord my refuge and the Most High my shelter. No evil will conquer me. No plague will come near my home, for he will order his angels to protect me. So you ask the question, who can abide? And you got to figure out, you got to stay joined. You got to put him on. You have to put Christ on. The scriptures talk about changing your wardrobe, changing how you think, changing how you talk. You put him on. Let's keep going in Psalm 91. This is the last of that scripture. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. That is your benefit package for putting Christ on. Baby, it don't get any better than that. When the Lord says, when you put me on, I will rescue you. I will protect those who trust my name. When you call on me, I will answer you. I don't know about you, but I like answers. Either yes, no, or hang on, I just want to answer. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So we have talked about who can abide. You can abide when you walk uprightly and you work righteousness in your life and you treat your fellow man right. So who can worship? Who can truly worship in his tabernacle? One scripture says, those who have clean hands and a pure heart. See, your heart has to do with your issues with God. And your hands have got to do with your issues with your man, your relationships. So who can worship? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. It means you're just trying to do what's right. And you got to stay joined to abide. We've talked about the benefits when you abide, but you say, okay, how do I do this? How? This is a tall order. When you just go back to Psalm 15, it's a tall order. So I'm going to give you a secret today. In John 14, 16, Jesus himself said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, which is the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. So I'm going to just submit something to you. It's not just enough to decide to put on Christ, because you're still going to battle your flesh. You need an empowering authority in your life. You need the Holy Spirit in your life to cover you and teach you how to abide in Christ. You say, is the Holy Spirit really that important? Absolutely. And I'm sorry for the body of Christ that's made the Holy Spirit goofy and strange and weird. He is not any of that. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force you to do anything or to be anything. But John 14, 16 says, Jesus Christ, your Savior, said, I will pray the Father. I'm going to pray to Abba God. And he's going to send you another helper. So Jesus Christ ascended back. And the role of Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit working in the earth realm. So why don't you want him in your life? He is the empowerer. He is the comforter. He is the anointing. I taught you months ago on the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit alone knows the mind of God. Jesus speaks what the Father speaks to him. But in my spirit, only my spirit knows the true Rita. The Spirit of God knows the heart of God. And his work is in the earth realm to teach you and empower you how to abide in your relationship with Christ. He will empower you to be what you cannot be. And the scripture says that he will abide with you forever. So I'm going to challenge you. I want you to stand with me for just a moment. I want you to accept the Holy Spirit as your life partner. And again, he is not goofy. He is not weird. He's not some mystery. He is your life partner. I don't know how you make it without him. I don't know how you make it without him. We have a triune Godhead that operates in three different personalities, three different functions in the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit's role is to be your comforter, your peace. He is the one that is called alongside of you, to walk with you, to be with you, to back you up in life. And there is stuff that we have walked through in our lives that we could have never survived without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. 3 out of 5 times in the book of Acts, they spoke in an unknown language. And we've had people ask us, do I have to speak that way? I will ask you this. Why would you not want a prayer language that only you and God understand? There are times in your life that the Holy Spirit will pray through you. The Bible says with utterances that you won't understand, and neither does the enemy of your soul. I can't tell you the times I've been on my face in my house, not knowing what to pray. It's the Holy Spirit who impresses you and puts somebody on your mind to pray for them. It's the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide you to do things that you could never do alone. So I want you to bow your heads right now. I'm going to ask you an accountability question. Thank you, guys. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, if you will just in an honest moment say, Pastor Rita, I desire a relationship deeper than what I have with the Holy Spirit, because I need to be more empowered. If that is you, lift your hand. With your hands raised, get down here quickly. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Just take your hand and get out in that aisle and come join me right down here. Here's what I ask God for in this service. I ask Him to fill us to overflowing with His authority, with His power, with His wisdom, with His presence. And many of you that have come forward may already have a relationship with Him. But what I've learned about Him, there are levels, there are depths, there are heights. He's wider than you can imagine. He's deeper than you can imagine. He's higher than you can imagine. And He wants to do in you remarkable things. He is peace when your world is filled with torment. He is the answer when you have nothing but questions. I don't know what it is about Him, but there have been moments I felt like I was losing my mind. And I didn't have a prayer in my heart. And I would just lift my hands, and the sweet Holy Spirit would just engulf where I was. There are times I'm in His presence that I cry. There's times I don't cry. There's times I feel like running and leaping. There's times I just stand very still. But here's what this part, this relationship will do. When my daughter turned 17 on her 17th birthday, I got a call from a nurse. She was on the side of the road with Brittany. She had run her car headlong into a tree. The nurse says to me, "Are you Brittany's mom?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Your daughter's been in a very bad car accident." I said, "Just tell me where she is." I left the church office. I didn't tell any of the staff. They just saw my car peeling out. Pastor was at the house doing some work. I drove like a maniac until the Holy Spirit stopped me. And I put the brakes on my car. And I said, "God, I don't know what I'm about to face, but I know this. You love her more than I love her. And whatever it is, I can't fix it." And His peace flooded the vehicle I was driving. Because if I hadn't come to some sort of mind, that car could have been total that I was driving. Because I was running red lights and I was slinging it. And His Spirit came into that car and touch this mama. When I got there, my kid was okay. She had a broken ankle. I wanted to kill that nurse. I wanted to strangle her because she could have said, it looks like her ankle is broken. Now, her car was totaled. But see, what man cannot do for you, he can do for you. He can do for you. I want you just to lift your hands. You have to give him permission to work in your life. He is a gentleman. He will not force you, but he loves you and he will empower you. Lift your hands like lightning rods and open your mouth and say, "Fill me with your spirit."